you're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
A promo for Destiny, who I've never met, but if you have never been to the continent of Africa and you're looking for a vacation of a different sort that has a tinge of ministry, I would highly recommend it. I say that because I've had the privilege of being in the country just to the north of you, Destiny, in Ethiopia, 3 times in the last 3 years. And I'm discovering I'm getting too old for 12-hour plane trips. So I'm looking for younger people who have a little more endurance. But it really is amazing to see what God is doing on the continent. It is an incredibly young continent. I'm not sure what the stats are in Kenya, but the average age in Ethiopia, 145 million people, the average age is 19. The Muslims are aggressively going after Africa. We need to exceed them and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ so that they hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So just want to thank you, Destiny, for that report and encourage you. If you've got the endurance and the means, it is a great place to go and see what God is doing. Very quickly, time is limited, but a little bit of AGC news, of which you are a family. We had a great pastors and spouses conference in Pinoca, Alberta, 2 weeks ago. Had good participation from Manitoba. Excellent feeding from the Word by Dr. Rick Reed, formerly from Heritage College and Seminary. And it was just a really, really good time. And thank you for supporting that ministry. Myron was there. Matt wasn't able to be there this year with all the different things that he is trying to balance and filling in for your pastor's absence during his sabbatical. Today, there is a bittersweet farewell for Dave and Jennifer Burley, just north of here in Gladstone. They have resigned, and they are looking to discern God's leading. And I know that the church would appreciate your prayers for them. And I would appreciate your prayers for me, as I will be consulting with them in terms of where do we go from here. So I really, really appreciate your prayers for that church and for David and Jennifer as they seek to discern where God would lead them. A couple of good news items. I heard from Ethan and Katie that they had a great visit with you here in McGregor, and thank you for their support. If any you are sitting on an excess $250,000 you don't know what to do with, talk to me. They've got some ideas of how they could use it to start a ministry in Winnipeg. And then I know you also know Alex and Amber Bohorke from formerly of Merrifield, Saskatchewan. They have successfully gotten down to Mexico, not without some difficulties. Alex had to fly directly because the states wouldn't let him in as a Mexican. And Amber traveled with a number of people in Merrifield, and not without incident. The motorhome that was traveling with them broke down, needed some major repairs, had some flat tires, stopped at a storage unit in Arizona to pick up some furniture, only to get locked in at night. And they have to call the police to come and free them from the storage. So there were a number of, they were greatly relieved to get across the border about 2 days later than they anticipated. But they are together as a family in the place where they will be ministering. So thank you for your prayers for them. This morning I'm going to take us to a topic that can easily enough make us feel that we have failed in this particular area, myself included. It's a topic that often induces a lot of guilt, and when you talk to people directly about it, they find a reason to avoid eye contact or tie their shoelaces and not look you in the face. Now, there's a lot of topics that could refer to when I mention those particular things, but I'm directing our attention to one. And by the way, as we were singing all those excellent expressions about heaven, this practice in the Christian life that I'm going to direct our attention to this morning is the practice, and this might give you a clue as to what I'm going to talk about, is the practice in which Jesus in heaven is presently engaged. We don't often enough think about what is Jesus doing in heaven. Is he just biding his time, waiting for the Father to say, now you can go? Or is he actually actively engaged in a ministry related to the gift of salvation and redemption? And what we're going to be talking about is actually a ministry that allows us to join in Jesus' present ministry. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but Hebrews chapter 7, we're not going to turn there, and Romans chapter 8 tell us this is the present ministry of Jesus in heaven until he waits for the Father to say, it's time to return. And I think most of us would agree we wish that would happen sooner than later. So what is it that we're talking about? What if it was possible to engage in this activity, not from a feeling of guilt that we fall short? Guilt, I have discovered in my own Christian life, is a good short-term motivation to correct me. But it's not a good long-term motivation to keep me going. So what if we could discover there was grace for us to actually want to and not feel we have to pray? That's what I want to talk about. What is our... Mike seems to be cutting in and out, so if you need to at the back, I'll stay close enough to the pulpit. It'll pick up one or the other. But what if our motivation for praying was not out of a sense of guilt that we fall short and could do better, which most of us feel most of the time, myself included, despite the fact that I have over 60 years under my belt of being involved, participating in praying. Well, truth be told, closer to 70 years. I think if we could make that shift of motivation from guilt to grace, it would make a significant difference in how we approach God in prayer. So where do we start? Huge topic. Unlimited number of examples. Texts abound. The whole book of the Psalms is a book of prayers. There are all kinds of exhortations, all kinds of examples, all kinds of model prayers that could inform us. I am choosing this morning to direct us to the example and the words of the one whose prayers were always heard and always answered. And I think you know who I am referring to. And I think it would be good for us to start by with the original disciples saying in prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. So would you join with me in prayer? God, as we give our attention this morning to this basic spiritual practice, which some have likened to breathing, we inhale, we exhale. We take in your word, we speak back to you on the basis of your word. God, we're not looking for novelty in what we consider together this morning. We are looking for reminders from your word that would motivate us long term to want to pray rather than just have to pray. And so, Holy Spirit, you are the one who makes the word alive and relevant. We ask that you would be our guide as we look at a number of texts that come directly from the mouth of Jesus, the one whose prayers were always heard and always answered because of his intimacy with the Father. And so with the original disciples, we say, Lord, would you teach us from your word this morning how we can more effectively and consistently pray. In your name, Jesus, we ask. So here's my plan for this morning. If you can remember the countdown, three, two, one. We are going to look at three texts from the Gospels that highlight two pictures with one invitation from those texts. So I believe we have the text coming up behind me. The first is John 15. You may want to turn to your Bibles because that's a lot of words on the screen. John 15, verses 4 through 16. And what I want to do with these three texts is sort of stitch them together and show you that there is a connection. So it's not one specific text that we're looking at, but it's the common theme of prayer that is found in all three of these texts. So in John 15, we have that wonderful word picture where we're reminded that Jesus is the vine. He is the main stalk. We are the branches that are connected to him, and it is from him that we draw our life. And that is the main focus of this text. But in the midst of there, Jesus says, as we stay connected to him and draw our life from him, one of the benefits is our prayers will be answered. So follow along with me. I'll be making minimal comments on this, verses 4 through 16. So here it is. Abide in me, Jesus talking, and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches, those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Now here is the prayer. Jesus says, if you abide in me, think stay closely connected, and my words abide in you. By the way, look at the parallel here between verse 4 and verse 7. If you abide in me, and I abide in you. In verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. So how does Jesus abide in us? It is through taking in his word. Remember, the gospel starts by saying, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word became flesh. So this is not as mystical as it sounds, that the life of Christ abides in us. And in part, it does that through his words abiding in us. So if you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Obviously, an allusion to Jesus Christ himself. Now catch this. This is the first word picture. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now stop and think. If Jesus says he considers us his friends, that must mean the reciprocal part of that is he is our friend. If he calls us his friends, that means he is our friend. In the context of that picture, then, look at what he says in verses 15 and 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, is that a carte blanche promise that I can say I would like the most souped up Mustang convertible? No. The condition in this text is, and why we can pray with confidence that our prayers will be heard and answered, is because we are abiding in Christ. If I'm abiding in Christ and his words are abiding in me, my requests are going to be shaped by Jesus Christ and his word. And I'm going to be asking in alignment with what he tells me is the Father's will. But the picture he paints here that I think is incredibly attractive and motivating for me to want to pray is he says, Lord, consider me your friend. The reverse is, Jesus says, Lord, you can call me your friend. And when you ask, you are asking of a friend. Now, before we unpack that anymore, let me pause and say this. If there is any possibility of our prayers being heard and answered, it is founded on this one non-negotiable essential. We must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by putting our trust in him as the Son of God, asking him to forgive our sins, to place his spirit within us. He gives us a desire for the word of God. And so it starts with the gospel. If you are desirous of your prayers being heard and answered, it starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the first prayer that any of us must pray. Jesus, I need you. I want you in my life to be my Savior, the one who forgives my sins, who makes it possible for me to have an intimate relationship with Almighty God through you, his Son. If you have never prayed that prayer, I would encourage you, even while I am